Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today we're so blessed that you're joining us. My guest today is Matthew Diebler. Is a child of God. He was born with a purpose, but he says he was a marked target of the devil. And unaware of this evil influence, well, like most of us, Matthew fell under the spell of the devil's deceit. But he's drifting deep into the grip of mental illness before suffering an actual nervous breakdown and then being reborn in the faith. Amen. And Matthew has since founded the Lamp on the Stand Motivational Ministry, which inspires faith-led transformation. I mean, he is outspoken mental health advocate with nearly a decade of powerful influence in the mental health community, where he boldly shares the riveting story of his spiritual rebirth from the depths of panic-ridden, agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia. That's
there
correct.
You go. Okay. He's got OCD, addictions. He's also the founder of The Outlet, which is a natural dialogue mental health community. He's also the author of a great book, The Devil and the Children of God at the End of the World, which will be the subject of today's discussion as well. Help me welcome to the program, Matthew Diebler. Matthew, thank you for taking the time out of your personal schedule to join us today.
Oh, absolutely. It's an honor to be here. I think so highly of you, Pastor, and you know, I've listened to some of the episodes of your show, and they're incredibly. I'm honored to be a guest.
Oh, amen. I appreciate it. Now, the first question I always start with is this: other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Matthew Diebler?
Who? You is a child of God, and you know, it's interesting because the way that I would describe myself now is totally different than before my rebirth in Christ, which happened, you know, a decade ago. I was, growing up, I was sort of the star athlete, the popular kid. I excelled in most things, but what people didn't understand is that underlying kind of the surface of my skin, there was a really difficult battle going on, and it was a mental health battle. And now I've come to recognize it was a spiritual battle as well. My identity in Christ really has shaped who I've become over the last decade, and it's been a beautiful process. So I would describe myself now as an outspoken advocate for mental health. I am a bold follower of Jesus Christ. I walk in the Holy Spirit. I go where He leads without hesitation. So that's, you know, led me into some areas that I really didn't anticipate at earlier stages of my life. I've become an author. I'm going to become a podcast host here very soon.
Praise the Lord.
So Amen. It's just a beautiful journey. I'm just walking where He leads.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell us about your struggle with mental illness and how that affected you and those around you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really began probably in early adolescence. And that started with my encounter with obsessive compulsive thoughts. And initially it was kind of one or two thoughts that really just plagued my mind. I understood that they were coming from a source outside of me, but I felt a lot of guilt and shame for them, you know, because they were thoughts that I really didn't want to accept as my own, but I felt responsibility for them. There were actually times, and I was not very close to God at that period of my life, but there were times where I went to prayer and, you know, asked Him to forgive me for these thoughts. But they started, you know, manipulating my life in a sense. I started adapting my behaviors to accommodate them and really do my best to kind of conceal, like I said, what was going on beneath my skin, because I felt so much shame in that I really didn't want that to be visible to my family or my friends, those around me. And so that led to a lot of pressure, and that pressure created quite a bit of anxiety in me. And at first I had no idea that it was anxiety, but by the time that I was about a freshman in college, or actually after my freshman year in college, I had an experience that really opened the door, and I stepped into kind of full-blown panic and anxiety disorder. I was having panic attacks throughout the day and throughout the night, and it became devastating. Mm-hmm. And for That season of my life, you know, I really had a hard time pulling it back together. Ultimately, I did, and I went through seasons of, you know, hard times in mental health, but it really culminated in a nervous breakdown that occurred in 2011. And that was right before the time that I got my rebirthing experience in Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, you feared leaving your own home. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe that's what, and I'm going to try and pronounce this again.
Yeah.
You say it for us.
agoraphobia. Correct. Yeah.
That's what it is. How did you work? How did you earn a living and all that?
Well, thankfully at that period of time, so I wasn't always agoraphobic. That actually came in that season of great anxiety in 2011. So I was coming out of a bad relationship. It was kind of an ugly breakup. The stress had been mounting underneath the surface of my skin for quite some time, and it just kind of exploded on me. And when I had that nervous breakdown, the nervous breakdown actually led me to this fear that if I stepped out into public and I had that type of experience again, that they would essentially, you know, they'd throw me into a mental ward, or, you know, they'd kind of lock me up and take my life away. And so I was so terrified of that, that I started to spend a lot of time, you know, inside of my four walls. And over time, I just restricted my travel outside of that comfort zone more and more. And eventually it got to the point where I was agoraphobic. And that was truly a fear of stepping beyond that comfort zone. And it became so debilitating that there were days I didn't feel as though I could walk out the door to, you know, take out the trash or go to the mailbox. I mean, if I even began to approach the door, the rush of adrenaline that would shoot through my body was so intense that I would just shake in fear. And it would lead me into kind of that state where I was vulnerable to a panic attack. So it was devastating, and it was a very discouraging and depressing time in my life.
How did you earn a living during that time?
Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to answer that second part of your question. So I was working remote, and it was a sales role, outside sales of all things, right? I had been in that space for my entire career. Thankfully, I had some clients established. And so the company that I worked for was based in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I was living at the time in Pennsylvania. And so I didn't have to do a lot of travel in that season because my clients were pretty well established. So it was a lot of remote communication. I did have to share with my employer at times that my anxiety was at a level where I couldn't travel, and that my ability to go out and see them face to face. But thankfully, I worked through it. And what was amazing was when I began in that season to give my life to Christ, He continued to provide. In fact, my business opportunities actually expanded in that season, which made no logical sense. But God was taking care of me in that period of darkness.
Amen. Amen. You share in your book that it's the devil is the one who nurtured this phobia in you. How so?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the devil is the father of lies. And I believe that he was involved in my thought life from a very early age. And I believe that those thoughts were planted in my brain at a time when I was not mature enough, you know, mentally or spiritually to really understand the threat and understand how to, you know, discern exactly who the author was of these thoughts. And so I really was immature in my faith life then too. I mean, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and, you know, we went to service on Sundays, and I kind of did all the right things, I guess, by the religious playbook, but I really didn't have any relationship with God. I didn't know Him. I didn't really seek Him in that church community. I never felt close to Him there, and I didn't understand the word at all either. So I was just truly ill-equipped to deal with the lies of the enemy when they came flooding into my system, and it really set me on a course of great deception and despair.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Like you, I was raised as a Lutheran, mm-hmm. My grandparents were Lutheran, and they were the ones who basically raised me. Mm-hmm. And when I joined the military, I did things that, well, we'll just say that wasn't very Christian-like and mm-hmm. kind of ashamed of now. But when someone would come to me and try to witness to me, I'd fall back on, oh, I'm a Christian. I got saved when I was in high school because I took the confirmation class and took the communion, got the card that said so, you know, and all that. It wasn't until, gosh, like 17 years later when I was at the end of my rope thinking of suicide and all that, that, you know, and literally when I share this, the only way I can describe it is Jesus invaded my life.
Wow. You know? Yep. Absolutely.
And only then did I realize that I'd been believing a lie all those years about my salvation, you know?
Yeah.
Is that how it was with you?
Yeah, it was, you know, for me, it was a divine intervention because I was in this very dark season and I had created avenues to kind of escape the chaos of my mind. And, you know, one of the habits that I had was I liked to gamble. And in that space, when I placed a wager or I went to a casino, I could lose myself in it. And so I didn't really have to deal with the anxious thoughts and that overwhelm, at least for a few hours. Well, there was a day when I was placing a wager on a sport that I knew nothing about. I was losing the bet and I really kind of stepped out of the character of who I was. And I was yelling in my apartment, smacked the screen on my laptop, shattered the screen. And I felt devastated because it was like, that was my fix. That was my only out. And I had to secure a way back to the casino or, you know, a way to place a wager. That was the online casino at that time. So I ran out that afternoon to pick up a new laptop because, you know, with the laptop being broken, that cut off my access. And when I went to do that, I remember being in the store and I was literally shaking because I was agoraphobic at that time. So I was really stretching myself even being there. And then here I am, you know, following a habit that I knew was bad for me just to, you know, suit the needs of my anxiety. And when I purchased the laptop and stepped in the apartment, I had an encounter with a man who came right up to me. And he spoke to me and asked me if I looked like a, and I won't use the term, but it was actually a term that I had used as a slur in my apartment in my anger out of the outcome of the wager that I had placed earlier that afternoon. So in the privacy of my apartment, this happened. And then this man encounters me a lot and very quickly walks right up to my face and says, "Do I look like a blank to you?" And it really, it stopped me dead in my tracks. I knew it was God. There was no other way that this occurrence could have happened. And it really allowed me to understand how far I had fallen and that it was time to kind of wake up and make a better decision for the future of my life. So I went home. I felt very dirty, very shameful. And I really didn't want to gamble anymore. So I cleaned out my account. I stepped into the shower and I started praying. And then I heard God speak to me there. And it was a powerful message, really telling me that the thing I heard was, you know, what is the one consistent thing in all the adversities that you've experienced in your life? You know, he was asking me to reflect upon this. And I'm going through like financial hardships and broken relationships and all those things. And I heard God say, you know, it's you. So own it, you know, take responsibility, seek forgiveness, and let's get on a different path here. Like, you want to break the cycle? Let's do it. And so I felt moved to share my story. And that's when I began writing. The very next day, I started a blog.
Oh, wow. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
So just summarize for us what your life was like before 2011 and then after 2011.
Yeah, I think the thing that I would see, you know, there was kind of a common cycle that continued to repeat in my life where I really didn't have a life of purpose or meaning. And I drifted through a lot of, you know, relationships that were not aligned with, with where I am today. And they led to kind of devastating consequences. I was not necessarily a great person because my shame and my desire to conceal what I was dealing with from a mental health perspective really created a lot of walls in my relationships. And I often liked to try and manipulate or control the environments around me to suit the needs of the things that were going on from a mental health standpoint. And I think that put a lot of stress on those who I loved. because it really affected them on a pretty deep level as well. Even though I thought that I was concealing it, I wasn't, you know. Yeah. It was all there and it was having a devastating effect. And it was like, how many times can I repeat this sequence of events or these behaviors and in these relationships? And how many times can it lead to devastating consequences before I decide it's time to wake up and choose a different path?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, your book says that you encountered the devil twice in your life.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, so in 2011, I had my rebirth experience and I started out on this different path and I began sharing my story very bold and in a very bold and transparent fashion. And it was my mental health journey. I felt great freedom in it because I felt as though God had forgiven me for the sins of my past. He was making me new. I was a new creation in Him. And I really didn't fear the judgment of anyone. I just knew I had to get the story out because that's what He was calling me to do. And then as I did that, I felt the purpose in it because there were many people who were coming into my life and really the story was impacting them in such a powerful way because they had experienced something or a family member had. And so it touched me to know that there was more value in this story than just me. You know, there were other people who were going to benefit from it. And so I started down this path of transformation and I wasn't really sure. And here I'm kind of drifting a little bit. Can you repeat the question one more time so that I can answer it properly? Because I'm probably going in a direction that'll get kind of long. So I want to make sure that I focus here on what your specific question was.
You said that you encountered, you had two run-ins with
the devil. So we start heading down this path of transformation and things are going in a really positive direction. And after about a year and a half of blogging, I decided that it was time to maybe take this content that I had accumulated and create a book from it. It just felt natural. And so I did a manuscript proposal and I aligned with a publisher and that was all ready to go. And then I started to kind of embrace the freedom that I was feeling in my rebirth, just that I was able to do things that I hadn't previously. I had stepped out of that agoraphobic space. And so I was enjoying life. I was traveling. I was wanting to, you know, create kind of the creature comforts in my life again. And in that temptation, that's when I was led to the devil. And it was really because I was seeking an opportunity to, you know, perhaps make some money, gain some influence, things of that nature. I can't go into the specific details. Mm-hmm. But what happened was after this encounter, and you can read about this in the book as well, but after that encounter, the first conversation about 2 weeks later, I decided that I was going to abandon the book project altogether because I just felt overwhelmed. I didn't think I had time for it. I made every excuse in the world as to why I was going that direction. But the truth was, is that I was led into temptation and, you know, I was choosing that temptation over God. And so His will, you know, kind of got put on the back burner and I stepped forward in my will thinking that I could do everything in my own strength. And yeah, there would come a time when I would get back to that call from God to write the book, but it wasn't for me now, not in that season. And so that's when that occurred. And I went through a pretty dark season there and I suffered some tough consequences and I knew the shame of my actions because I felt the Holy Spirit warn me too, but I still decided to, you know, go forward in my own strength and decide that I knew best. It wasn't, God didn't, you know, his will didn't matter. I was the one that was going to choose the direction of my life and it led to some tough consequences. So after that, I went through a period where I really kind of was in the wilderness. I felt distant from God. I felt unworthy. I felt inadequate. I felt like I had broken the closeness that we had had for you know, a really wonderful period of my life. And now it was lost in what I ever hear from Him again. Some things started occurring then several years later that led me to understand that He was still there. He had been there that whole time and He was calling me into a greater purpose. I just truly needed to mature in my faith. And in 2020, I encountered the devil a second time, right as I was about to step into my calling and get ready to really embody the purpose that God had placed in my life many years earlier.
And what, how did they tempt you in that second encounter?
Yeah. So the second encounter, and I have to be sort of careful about the level of detail that I share, but it occurred at a point in time when, so it was 2020, I'm coming into this season where I'm feeling moved by the Holy Spirit to start sharing my story again more boldly. I'm doing a lot of mental health content. I'm not ignoring the victor in my story. That was Jesus Christ. And so everything that I'm doing from a mental health perspective is weaved into my spiritual revival as well. Start going deeper with God, deeper into my faith. And then I get to this point where I feel like I'm at a wall because I've always wanted to live this calling full time, but I'm not sure in my natural mind how I do that. You know, how do I make kind of a career out of this? I would always get to that point and I'd kind of pause and then I'd turn around, I'd retreat. And what happened was I sought some spiritual guidance and I went to a place that I shouldn't have. And that's where the devil was waiting because I was trying to really clear this hurdle and I thought I needed help in order to get over it. And I turned to a place that I shouldn't have for that guidance. And it led me into this web of deception that was, I thought that I was actually in the beginning really advancing my faith, but it was all deception. It was lies. And it got really messy for a period of like 40 days and 40 nights, which is interesting because that's what Christ went through as well.
Amen. So. Amen. Hey, you share that sometimes God speaks to you, talks to you. And you mentioned it a few times in your book. How do you differentiate the voice of God from, say, your own conscience speaking to you?
That's a great question. But when God speaks, I feel like it's incredibly clear. It doesn't really require a ton of, it's almost like in a divine intervention a lot of times. And when the Holy Spirit is present, I can feel it. I can feel the sensations all over my body. I get chills. I get goosebumps. I call them the truth bumps. And you know, they kind of run from my head all the way down to my feet. I do pray in the Holy Spirit and I've had a lot of things, come to me through that type of prayer. I've experienced dreams. I've had visions. And one of the things I'll say about the dreams, you know, I dream most nights. I rarely remember anything from those dreams, maybe a little, you know, bit or piece of it. But when God places that dream there for a specific, you know, purpose, and there's like his intention behind it, I can recall every single detail. So usually, you know, when that happens and I wake up and I realize that I've just come from that space, I try and document everything immediately because there's usually some kind of prophetic meaning behind it. And that's been extremely powerful, particularly in the space that I'm in now where it's required a lot of faith. It's required me to step forward without fear or hesitation. And I've needed that wisdom that can only come from God, that assurance that can only come from him. In this space, because I don't think anybody else could give it to me.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time with this truly interesting interview with Matthew Diebler. I hope you're getting a lot of value out of this interview. I know I am. Bless God. Amen. Now, Matthew has such an interesting story that he's sharing and how he transformed all of this into a ministry outreach effort. I mean, it's truly, truly inspiring. And in addition, his great book, The Devil and the Children of God at the End of the World. Well, after hearing Matthew on this interview, you just need to add this book to your reading list. Amen. Go down into the show notes down below, click the link, and order Matthew's book today. Don't wait. You know how the devil operates. If you try and wait until later, the devil will do his best to keep you distracted so you don't order it at all. Amen. So click the link down below, order your book today, and while you're thinking about it, reach out to Matthew, ask a question, click the link to his website, email him, and ask him questions if you have any. Amen. And be sure to come back for the next episode where I'll be concluding this great interview with Matthew. I'm excited about it because I know what we're going to be discussing, and you do not want to miss part 2. Amen. So until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you,
be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.